dreams, tossing and turning, and sometimes she cries out. In the middle of the night, she sits bolt upright and wants to make it down to the carpet again. I carry her into the living room, beside myself with tiredness, not knowing if I am up to the elephant in the middle of the night. I bring a sheet and cover her. She needs water, but she can't manage it on her own. I get a straw from the kitchen and she attempts to suck it up, but even that is too much for her. I fill a flannel with cold water and squeeze it into her mouth. Her tongue comes right out and licks the drops. I put my fingers in a glass of water, and then I put them in her mouth. I rub her tongue with my wet fingers. I know her tongue too. I know all of her. There was an elephant who got separated from her herd and couldn't find a water hole, I began, but she grabs me and whispers urgently, hoarse me, tell me about the ears. You know what they say about elephant ears? They can hear low sounds from miles away. They pick up the sonic booms. A deep rumbling, a vibrating sound. The elephant can hear the sound through its own trembling skin. She nods, her eyes closed, but I can tell she is listening. Her cheeks are open and wide, almost new. I lightly touch her face. She opens her eyes for a second, takes me in, and then closes them again. I take her hand in mine, and she holds it for a moment. Then she starts to pluck at the sheets with her hand. Pluck, pluck, pluck. It comes after the trumpet signal has been given. A herd of elephants lived in a free park in Zimbabwe, many miles away from another herd of elephants who were about to be culled. On the day of the culling, the free elephants, miles and miles away, rushed to the very back of their park. They wept, and the sound of those elephants weeping was electrifying. I imagine them. They fill my whole head. She falls off into sleep again, and I pick her up and carry her to our bed. She's light now, skin and bone, and there is nothing I can do. There is nothing I can do. Only the elephant can help. Only the kind, compassionate, understanding elephant can help us now. I love to see the excitement in her eyes, the tenderness, the elephant sympathy. It is quite exhilarating. We could never have said the things we say to each other if not for the enormous elephant. Perhaps she sleeps for an hour, or at the most two, but suddenly she wakes up, screaming. She is having the nightmare. I rush and get her medication, give it to her with some water. I'm here, I tell her. Don't worry. Try and sleep. But she is too restless. I carry her into the living room again and try to make her comfortable. Did you know about the baby African elephants that witnessed their families slaughtered by poachers? Witnessed the tusks being cut off from their bodies? These baby African elephants woke themselves up in the night for months afterwards, screaming. Elephants scream, don't they? The scream comes out of their long trunk and goes right up in the air. I am keeping my promise to her. Don't stop talking about the elephant till it happens, she said when we heard. She smiles at me, the weakest of smiles. Her eyes take me in, and then she loses it. I want her to stay awake. Did you know elephants can draw pictures? I ask, certain that this will make her open her eyes. They draw pictures on the ground with sticks. But no, she has drifted off. She won't come back. I go to the kitchen to make her some hot potato broth. It is in the middle of the night and I am here making soup. I open the curtains in our kitchen and look down. I can see the lights from cars moving slowly along the roads. The light from other buildings sparkle and spray. They look alive, the lights, dancing and twirling, pretty. The road is a long black scarf and the lights are jewels. I used to love being driven in the car at night, half asleep, watching the bright lights outside. It used to make me feel safe. I stare down for ages. I see a tiny man in a dark coat hurrying along the street. I can even see that he is smoking from here. A tiny light is in his hand. Everything really is very small. I know that if I can just get her to take a few spoonfuls of soup, she will be the better for it. I try and sit her up and spoon feed her from my broth, but her mouth won't accept it. Her eyes won't open. Her body is heavy. She can't be hungry. I put a pillow under her head and sing to her. I stroke her long bones, her damp hair. It is sparse now, her hair, thin on the ground. She is not her usual color. She is gray. I walk round and round her, facing out towards our window. I walk around our small flat, going from room to room. from our bedroom to the bathroom, from the bathroom to the living room, from the living room to the kitchen. I find a shell and a stone in the bathroom. I carry them into the living room. I find an old photograph of her mother. I lie up beside her. I search for her favorite scarf-ripping things out of her drawers till I find it. I hold it to myself first. It is full of her smell. The sun is frail and rising in the sky. The light outside is pale and weak. I look down again out of our window. Down there, the whole world looks different in the day. There are many bright cars on the motorway. I can't see speed from up here. They seem to float. I look across at all the buildings, the shops and the offices and the houses and the homes. I look down at the streets. It all looks pretend. When the birds fly past the window, I can't believe they are real. I sprinkle her with spring water. I go back to our room and carry all of our pillows through and lay them around her. I try kissing her, touching her, but she doesn't respond. Her body is warm, but she will not move. I rest my head on her chest and hold her cheek. For a split second, I am sure I can feel her breath on my face. Then I realize it is my own breath coming back to me. So I get up. I trudge round and round her again. I keep on going, around and around and around. I face away from her. The light outside darkens. It seems to darken inch by inch by inch. I know what to do. We have talked about this. I bring sheets from our bed and I cover her, and then I lie down beside her and I hold her. I won't leave her. I will stay with her. I won't leave her. Outside, the big bulk of darkness presses against our window. There's a slither of moon in the sky, like a tusk.